I'm WILL-TV Program Director David Teal, and I'll be your guest host for this hour of Focus 580. David Inge has the day off. Joining me in the studio is WILL-TV Station Manager Carl Caldwell.
Good morning, David. How are you?
Good morning. It's
I envy David Inge. How is he able to pull that off?
I believe he's actually off all week.
Well, he picked a good day. The weather is beautiful. Although I think he's out on vacation somewhere.
Well, good for him. And together we're here today to be talking about recent and upcoming developments in public television. We'll be taking your questions about WILL-TV and its programming. And we welcome your questions and comments, of course, but we do ask that you keep them brief and to the point. The number to call in the Champaign-Urbana area is 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Outside the area, anywhere in the U.S., you can use our toll-free line, 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-WILL. And now we're waiting for questions to come in. But what's on your mind this morning, Carl?
Well, Monday morning, you always hear about the fact that Friday is so far down the road. But in terms of public broadcasting and public television, coincidentally, David, we had a meeting of the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council last Friday. And among the topics we discussed at length, number one, the funding situation, particularly as it relates to our state funding. And we have talked to people I know on air about what has happened to us. I know during the recently completed radio pledge drive, there was quite a bit of discussion about that. But we were also talking at length last Friday in Charleston about the need for public stations and commercial stations, for that matter, to engage in consumer education, specifically as it relates to the analog shutoff on the TV side in February of 2009. So there may be some questions today that relate to that specific question, and we'll try to respond to you as best we can. Those were the two primary issues we talked about last Friday, but I have a lot of things on my mind, as I know you do.
Well, no, it's true. And I mean, this is, you know, for people who aren't familiar, perhaps, we've been trying to, I think, try to keep people updated about this digital TV thing. But I mean, maybe we could talk for a moment about, you know, this analog shutoff, what it is, what it means for viewers.
Well, I think a lot of people are familiar with the fact that that Congress imposed on television stations a deadline to transition to a digital format, and there were questions along the way as to when Congress would mandate an analog shutoff. You have two formats, analog, digital, and come February 17th of 2009, there will be a total analog shutdown, which means you'll either have to have a digital TV set to receive TV programming, or a converter box that would enable you to use your existing television and enable you to receive that digital signal. But David, the thing we need to focus on particularly in this regard is to alert viewers across our coverage area and across the country about the need to be prepared to act prior to that February 17th, 09 deadline, because come that morning, people will turn on their TV sets if they have analog only, and there will be no picture there.
There will be no anything.
No audio, no picture, nothing. And so we have a responsibility, as you know, as public broadcasters, to alert people to this and to let them know what they can do to avoid that dilemma on February 17th of 09.
Right. And one of the options, too, if you are a subscriber to cable or satellite, specifically, I think you need to be on digital cable or satellite. I think all satellite is really digital at this point. But in any case, if you have one of those set-top boxes, you should be able to use that with your old analog TV set if you are still, you know, with one of those at that point. So I mean, you have a few options. But I know one of the things that's happening in the next year will be that I guess there's a big consumer education push by the federal government, and then there's also going to be this set-top box coupon program.
Yeah, which begins right after the first of the year, in fact. We will need to advise our viewers about the coupon option, some of the other options available to make that prepare for the conversion in February of 2009. And so, as I said, we have a responsibility to let viewers know about that. We are obviously concerned about what the national people are doing. PBS, for example, we were expecting some informational spots from PBS that we would be able to air that would explain to people the implications of this digital conversion and analog shutoff. And last Friday, this loose coalition of public radio and TV stations, we meet quarterly, the Illinois Public Broadcasting Council looked at ways last Friday in which we might be able to collaborate, David, on informational programming that would attempt to deal with some of the specific issues that people should be thinking about.
Yeah. I do want to just take a moment to remind our listeners that we're taking questions about WILL-TV, public television, and our programming. And your calls and comments are welcome at 333-WILL or out of the area on our toll-free line, 800-222-WILL. Now, this converter box coupon thing. Now, what my understanding of this is that beginning next year, the federal government is going to offer each household up to two coupons valued at $40 each toward the purchase of one of these converter boxes. Now, I don't know that they necessarily are going to have enough to cover every household in the U.S. I think they're assuming that a lot of people will already have digital sets. Because certainly, I heard that just last week, Best Buy, obviously the major retailer, electronics retailer, is actually no longer selling analog sets in their stores. I haven't been able to personally verify that locally, but I've heard that they're doing away with analog sets entirely.
One of the big issues for us, David, in Central Illinois, in our coverage area, the WILL-TV coverage area, is the fact that approximately 30% of our viewers out there receive our signal off the air.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, they're not using cable or satellite to receive their programs, and so we're looking at a sizable percentage of our viewing audience that's not prepared right now to accept a digital signal and be able to enjoy the programs that we offer 24/7 on several different channels, as you know, which are digital. But we need to educate those 30% about the fact that they do need to take specific steps. And one of the steps, of course, is to stop manufacturing digital or rather analog sets to prepare for this digital conversion, which will take place specifically on the 17th of February.
Right. And, you know, this is different for people who, you know, live through the transition from black and white to color television. this is different. Now, I didn't, actually. I'm a little,
yes.
I came along a little after that, but not much. And, but, you know, my understanding of that, of course, you know, is at the time, well, you know, the technologies were relatively compatible. So, you know, if you had a black
right.
and white set, you were fine. You could just, you watch the color programs, you wouldn't get the color. But it's completely different here. These are two different transmission standards. It's a completely different way of doing it. And I guess, too, I mean, we've really talked about why the federal government mandated this. Because, I mean, this is not something we woke up one morning and said, you know what, let's just make sure that, you know, a certain percentage of our audience can't receive us anymore. This was a federal mandate.
It was a federal mandate, specifically on the TV side. There has been no federal or congressional mandate on the radio side, although digital radio is coming up, as you know. But there was no option. The question from the feds was exactly when this analog shutoff would take place. And it's been uncertain for quite some time. But I would say, within the past, was it a year ago, I think there was a pretty definite decision. And right now it seems that's the date we're preparing for, the
right.
February 2009 shutoff. That's the date we're preparing for. We don't anticipate that the Congress will delay that. And the reason that Congress mandated that change from an analog to a digital format is that Congress will be able to generate substantial amounts of revenue by auctioning off that analog spectrum to cellular phone companies, for example, and will generate billions of dollars. And this was the original intent on the part of members of Congress at that time, to take advantage of that analog spectrum and sell it to the highest bidder.
Yeah, and I mean, to be fair to Congress and everybody else, I mean, there are considerable benefits to digital television. I mean, and I don't know that people are aware of that. I mean, one of which just, you know, obviously a clearer picture. You with digital television, there's no ghosting, there's no snow. You either get the signal or you don't. I mean, you literally, it's either a perfect picture or a black screen. You don't, there's no in between. So there's a you know, some quality issues. Or some, you know, some quality upgrade in terms of the picture, but then there are also some other things that come with it too. And I mean,
well, of course, the audio is also involved there. The audio will be of superior quality, but it also gives stations the opportunity to multicast if they so desire. In other words, WILL-TV analog, we've had one channel, David, and
right.
You as a programmer know that you're faced with limitations in terms of the amount of time available for you to make decisions about programs fitting specifically within a 24-hour format. Now we have three digital channels, including HD, along with our analog. It enables us to expand our programming to secondary, although I don't like to use that term, secondary digital channels, but in effect, that's what's happening, and it enables us to broadcast more programming. The question then is how we come up with quality programs to fill those secondary channels. And as you know, we've developed a bit of a strategy as this whole thing has emerged. For example, by providing an HD service, by combining a couple of programming streams that have been offered to us, Create, for example, with the blend of world, a public affairs kind of a format, 12-12, 12 hours from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. with Create, and from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m., the world option. So we have that. Some stations have adopted Hispanic-speaking channels that would address the needs of the Hispanic community. So in that respect, digital offers more programming, and the challenge for us is to find quality program and the resources with which to produce it.
Yeah, and I mean, a lot of people may not be aware that right now we really are doing three separate channels. We have the digital version
That's
of our
right.
regular analog signal, WILL, you know, channel 12, and then this kind of combination Create World channel. Create is the how-to service and World, the public affairs service, and that's airing, you know, as one separate digital stream. And then there's, of course, this HD channel, which eventually will merge with WILL proper later on. We have a caller on line 4 from DeWitt County. Line 4?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
I just had one question. What do they project the cost of these conversion boxes to be?
I believe what I've been hearing is about $80, I think, is what they're talking. Now, right now, I think they're more expensive than that. But I know there's been a push to make them more affordable because, you know, obviously people are not going to be able to drop, you know, several hundred dollars for several, you know, different boxes. So I think that's what they're talking about. And then there would be a $40 coupon.
Yeah, because see, some of us have some, you know, income issues about how much they want to spend to continue viewing something that's free now.
Exactly. Now, we absolutely hear you.
Now, that's a very important point, and we can honestly say that the cost of digital televisions has come down in recent years, but still, I think people are legitimately concerned, particularly people on fixed incomes, as to how they will be able to afford this, the ability to pick up a digital signal. But the cost is relatively low, and with the use of these coupons, I think that will assist people in trying to minimize the cost of being able to receive a digital signal. But you raise a very good point.
And I do want to just, again, take a moment to remind our listeners of the phone numbers here, 333-9455, to give us a call about WILL-TV programming, any kind of public television issues. And, of course, outside of the Champaign-Urbana area, you can use our toll-free line at 800-222-9455. You know, and I think it's worth mentioning, too. You know, of course, you won't need a converter box if you have a digital television. Now, it doesn't
Correct.
Have to be be HD. People confuse that a lot. I think there's been a general confusion about HD, which is high definition, versus digital. There, you know, digital is HD, but HD. Or we'll put it this way: HD is automatically digital by default, but a digital signal may not necessarily be high definition.
Yeah, standard digital is often the phrase used to describe it, an SD channel. We do provide an HD service, as David well knows. WILL provides that service. Not all of the programs on that HD channel are, in fact, high definition, but that's very attractive, as you know, David, to a number of viewers, a growing number of viewers, the capacity to receive a high-definition signal. It's very comparable, I would think, to people who used to talk about the first-generation dub with videotape compared to a third- or fourth-generation dub of that same material. The quality continues to deteriorate the more copies you make in a downward basis. But the HD signal for many is just, once you start, it's tough to go back to analog or SD.
They are gorgeous. I'll give them that. We've got another listener on line four in Seneca. Seneca?
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
I like this topic because I've had nothing but problems with my cable. I went to the dish finally. And it's well known. I don't know if I could say the name without getting in trouble, but it's terrible, the cable system. And the thing of it is, though, it seems to be, it's not a local thing. It seems to be within region-wide, because where I used to live, I just recently moved, and they had the same problem. Their idea of fixing the cable system was to take and bury cables. I got no less than six cables buried in my ground, and it still didn't fix the problem. I know what the problem is, but they refuse to fix it. They don't. It's in the box. It's in the system. And I constantly have this you know, things going out all the time. And anyway, the what I'm bringing up here is the fairness in any of this stuff. I mean, we need to. It has to be competitive, you know, for everybody's sake out there. And there's a lot of people out there that are still on antennas, believe it or not.
Oh, sure.
And when that whole thing goes down, what, another year or so, they're going to be left holding the bag, because nobody wants us. And I can't, don't blame them. Nobody wants to be left holding the bag. It is expensive, whether you're dish or cable. You know, I'm actually wanting to go back to my antenna, because they both have problems, and it cost me, you know, X amount of dollars. I minimize it. But, you know, if you look at how many, I guess what I'm getting to is they don't give the freedom to pick and choose your channels. It would be one thing if that, you know, as a customer to say I can pick this, and this, and say they'll have a limit, you know, minimum or something and a maximum. But they don't do that. You get stuck with a lot of crap. I mean, it's all.
It's very frustrating, isn't it?
Yeah.
I know that there are reasons, at least, you know, financial reasons, for kind of the way they bundle things together, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of these cable channels or satellite channels are owned by one company, maybe, you know, half a dozen of them are, and so they'll make a deal that, well, if you carry X, you also have to carry Y, Z, and, you know, double A or whatever. So, I mean, I think that's part of it. And then also, you know, there's the channels charge the satellite and cable providers a lot of times on a subscriber basis, you know, to charge them, you know, 30 cents per subscriber or whatever it happens to be. So I think that's some of what happens. But, yeah, I hear your frustration.
You know,
is there something the average citizen can do? I'm in it for fair and competitiveness out there. I mean, fair, open, competition, basically. When it comes to these cables systems, but I mean, something else has got to be done, because it's like the cell phone, same thing. I actually, it cost me more money to use my landline than my cell phone anymore. So I've kind of cut that out. You know, I'm getting down to the nitty gritty with the way the economy is. You know, I just see that the cable systems, you know, completely screwing themselves. I get off and listen. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you
for the call. A couple of points to bring up is the fact that, again, the strategy that people should use in attempting to find out for themselves what it is they want to receive and how they want to receive it depends in large part on the ability not only of public stations, but commercial television stations to educate viewers across the board about what happens on February 17th. And the issue of satellite carriage versus cable carriage. We, as public broadcasters, have entered into a couple of national agreements with the National Cable Television Association, which the basis of which was to enable public stations to have mandatory coverage of all digital signals. And we've recently... we're still not official yet on that, but there's another group of cable companies, the American Cable Association, and we're also almost on the verge of completing a national deal with them for mandatory coverage of multi-stream video. But the cable situation for us is a challenge because we are constantly, and it's also true with satellite, we're constantly attempting to exert our carriage rights to make sure, because of station overlap, that WILL is able to penetrate into those areas in which we consider to be our coverage area. And we have several overlap situations in central Illinois, and there are overlap situations all across the country for both television and radio. This complicates the landscape as well, David, but this viewer... I should say listener, you can tell we're from television, that called in just now is obviously frustrated with what he's facing with cable and satellite companies.
Yeah, now, and there's a big debate about the whole, you know, bundling issues and, you know, being able to choose what they, as they call it, a la carte. But I know there are financial concerns, and I'm not an expert on cable, but I know that there are financial considerations with some of that. I just, again, want to remind folks, we're talking with Carl Caldwell, WILL-TV station manager. I'm David Teal, WILL-TV program director, and we're taking your comments and calls about public television today. We've got a listener on line one from Wellington. Wellington?
Yes, I think this is a very timely subject, and so I'm glad you're having it. Just as an aside, I'd like to say I really like Wired Science.
Oh, good.
That's really a nice program.
Good to hear.
And I'd like to put my oar in, too, about the guy that called just previously. Like most cable companies, you know, you get the very, very minimal basic package, or you get what they call basic expanded, which is kind of everything else up to, you know, pay channels. And I would like to see a break in between that somewhere, you know, like maybe get 25 or 30 instead of 100, you know. And maybe I would not get one channel I didn't want in that, but I would get most of the common ones I was interested in without paying for, he phrased it, the crap that we're not interested in.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting. It's a 500-channel universe out there. And I think studies have shown that people, even though there are that many options out there, not that everyone has that capability of receiving 500, but you could if you wanted to. But for a basic cable package that might represent 60 channels, we'll say, people tend to use 7 or 8 as their basic choices at night with your remote control. Despite the fact you'd have 60 channels, there are probably 6, 7, or 8 stations or channels that people will routinely go back to each evening, despite all of the other options out there. Perhaps you're a fan of public broadcasting. It's likely that you might be interested in the History Channel or arts and entertainment or Discovery. Although, David, I noticed in some programming guides recently that if you're interested in the Bounty Hunters on A&E, that's not exactly the kind of programs that provided by public television. And I think despite the fact that there have been some similarities in content between public stations and cable channels, that we do consistently provide something that is unique in the media landscape.
Well, and I think you're going to find that some of the channels that used to kind of cater to the public television audience, Bravo, A&E, the Learning Channel, have really kind of changed their strategy.
Yes, they have.
They really, and I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but they just have changed what they do. American Movie Classics used to, that's what they used to be. Now they're just AMC. They may or may not have movies. They may or may not be classics, but they've completely changed their strategy. Actually, it's made them, given them more viewership, but, at the cost of their old identity. We have a couple of listeners lined up here, so I want to get to the cell phone on line two.
Hi. I have two questions. One is political. Because the airwaves are publicly owned, if Congress decides then to get rid of analog, it seems to me that a good argument could be made for Congress ought to compensate the folks who would like to maintain analog. And I know you mentioned something about coupons, but again, it seems to me they did this in order to make money, as you said, for the cell phone, they
Correct.
Can sell that spectrum or whatever. The airwaves are publicly owned. I mean, and freedom of speech is dependent upon that kind of thing. And it just seems to me each private citizen ought not have to pay for a decision that they got no input into and about a property that they own. And so that's my first question, is a political one. Mm-hmm. My second one is a more philosophical one. I'm reminded of Anton Chekhov's short story of The Cherry Orchard, and where the only person who remembers how to take care of the cherry orchard, which is the entire family's heritage and livelihood, is dying, and nobody else has invested in this and whatever, and it's that kind of story. So I was wondering, what kinds of vulnerabilities does digital have that analog doesn't have? I mean, is it possible that if we switch everything over to digital and we can no longer use analog, is it possible that something goes wrong and suddenly we don't have anything? Do you understand what I'm asking about that second question?
Well, I think so. If there's an overall failure in this digital technology, we'd be left without anything. Is that what you're contending, or at least speculating about?
Yeah. In what ways is digital vulnerable?
From a technical standpoint, I normally defer to our engineering staff around here, but David, I don't know of any potential flaws that would threaten the broadcast of a digital signal. Do you?
I mean, not in the kind of general meltdown, that the Y2K kind of scenario where just everything goes down. There's nothing I can think of that would do that. I mean, there are going to be issues with individual stations. You may have a situation where you're having trouble picking up a channel, because, as I mentioned, you either get it's all or nothing. You either get it or you don't. So there's no in between. Those might be issues for individual viewers that, picking up a particular station, depending on where the viewer is, where your antenna is pointed, and what the station is, where the station's transmitter is located. But I can't think of any kind of general meltdown.
No, I can't either. And of course, we didn't talk. It's a very good series of questions you ask. There are other advantages to digital technology. For example, the transmission of data, the use of digital spectrum in the case of national, regional, or local emergencies. We're trying to develop broadcast outlets, a strategy that would enable us to use that digital spectrum in very helpful, meaningful ways in the event of some horrible tragedy, whether it involves a terrorist act, weather-related problems, that kind of thing. In relationship to your earlier question about the airwaves being owned by the public, you can imagine that a number of people have expressed deep concern about having to spend additional money to invest in digital television equipment. Well, the cost of the digital conversion to broadcast stations like WILL-TV has been immense. And we were not in a position after Congress and the FCC, by the way, concurred that we were forced to meet this this digital conversion deadline, which initially was in May of 2005, at tremendous cost. It is costing us literally millions of dollars, WILL, to convert to a digital format. So it not only affects the user out there, but it also affects the people who are involved in the broadcasting business. And for a state licensee, a university licensee, it's imposed a heavy burden on WILL, as it has for many, many stations across the country.
For what it's worth, I think there was a period of public comment, I think, at one point. Now, and I realize that doesn't necessarily help the listener now.
Right.
And unfortunately, I think it really is too late now, probably, to, you know, appeal to Congress. I mean, I think we're far, far too long in the transition at this point. I know you want to make sure we get to talk about funding issues here, because there's been some developments in the area of public broadcasting funding, both the federal and state levels and locally.
Yeah.
So we've got a couple of listeners lined up, but I'd like to at least start to address that, and then we can take some more calls here.
Yes, and I assume, David, most of the calls will deal with digital issues, but I think during the course of the recently completed radio drive, Jay Pierce and the rest of the AM staff made a good argument about some of the funding challenges we face this particular year, we always seem to be in a position where we're looking for additional revenue, and that's true. We don't like to plead a hardship case unless it's absolutely necessary, but just some of the things that have happened recently, it seems like everything has happened at once. First of all, we found that our state appropriation, which comes through the Illinois Arts Council, it's a state appropriation from the Illinois General Assembly, passes through the Illinois Arts Council to individual public radio and TV stations. In our case, was cut by more than $200,000 this year. And, of course, many viewers and listeners are familiar with what has transpired in Springfield this year from a budgetary standpoint. The legislature, the governor, have been unable to come up with a smooth plan to help fund the state. There have been tremendous challenges this year, and this $200,000 cut in the state appropriation is one result of that. But there are many other very worthwhile not-for-profit efforts that have been adversely affected by the state fiscal climate. But also at the federal level, we've learned that we've received almost a $100,000 cut in our CPB appropriation. We talk about this constantly during our pledge periods, that the uncertainties attached to state and federal funding sources forces us to look to the generosity, the support of the members of WILL. And David, as you know, we are the beneficiaries of very generous donors, viewers and listeners who appreciate our broadcast service on both the TV and radio sides, and on the radio side, both AM and FM. Extremely generous people, and we're an educational licensee that has the fortune, the good fortune, I think, of having both an AM and FM station. There are very few educational licensees that have that two-channel or two-station programming option for its listeners. So despite the funding challenges, the generosity of people has been tremendous. But the fact remains that the cost of doing business, the cost of acquiring equipment and making technological changes and paying staff make it imperative that we do something in terms of our overall funding strategy to look at maybe non-traditional ways of trying to generate additional revenue. And we've done some things along those lines with video production, with the leasing of space on our broadcast towers to generate additional income. We need to continue to do that as we look to ways to deal with the uncertainties centered around state and federal funding.
Yeah.
Little windy answer, but those are important issues for us, David, as you know.
Well, yeah. And, I mean, we ask our listeners and viewers for contributions. We're not doing that today specifically. This is not a pledge break. But, you know, we also recognize that there's only so much you can do. You can't constantly harangue people for money, or they're going to tune you out, or the, you know, that it's, you know, some, for some people, for a lot of people, you're probably, you've done all you can do, and you're just like, well, that's it, I'm tapped out, or I'm giving to other charities or things like that. So we, you know, at some point the federal and state need to step up too, to make sure that this remains a going concern. I want to go ahead and get back to all right. I'm going to get some listeners here on line one in Champaign. Line one, you're on the air.
Hello. Good morning.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello there. Good morning. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
And I had two questions.
Good.
The first question has to do with the comment about all or none.
Mm-hmm.
With respect to digital, as somebody who's had HD for a while now, I can say that that's not quite true. It turns out that you get some pixelation as you're on the edge of the signal, and so you're, especially when the sun is going down or coming up, you can go from in to out and back and forth again. But certainly once it's in, it's spectacular, and when it's out, it's pretty much out. There's no ghosting or any of that kind of stuff.
No, that's a fair comment.
But the other question I was going to ask you is more of a speculative one about the future, and has to do with time shifting. You know, the question is whether or not it makes sense the model that we've always had with broadcasting is, you know, you have to watch a particular show at a particular time, and that's breaking down with things like TiVo and digital video recording. And I presume digital allows us to think more creatively about, you know, time shifting, official time shifting as opposed to unofficial time shifting. Is that something that you guys have thought at all about?
Excellent point. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I was going to say, now, I mean, as far as it goes, you know, we can... Well, I mean, we always have the ability to time shift programming if we want by just, you know, recording it and playing it back at a different time. But, you know, now one thing, of course, having multiple channels does is it gives us more opportunities for repeats and such. So there's that. But, you know, certainly, yeah, the time shifting is a huge issue. And I think the broadcast industry is having a hard time keeping up with that. And we just now in the last week or so, Nielsen started, the AC Nielsen company that does television ratings, has started doing what they call live plus seven viewing, which means live viewing plus the next 7 days through TiVo and DVR,
right,
and whatever. So, you know, they're trying to measure it. And, they found there's actually a pretty significant, you know, time-shifted viewing of these programs, which is something I think we all knew. But you know, they're actually able to measure it better now. So I don't know. It's a huge issue, though. And, yeah, the industry is just fundamentally changing.
I remember when David Teal walked in a couple of days after he had purchased a TiVo and said, "This is terrific. I'm never going back the other way."
Ever.
And so this, you know, the idea, the concept of a family sitting down or an individual sitting down at 8 o'clock p.m. on a Sunday night to watch a specific program, fewer and fewer people are doing that, as they have the ability to record programs, to pre-record programs, and watch them play back at their leisure when the time is right for them. And, you know, I think of our recent Ken Burns airing of the World War II documentary, The War, which was a 13 to 14-hour multi-part documentary. It's very difficult, obviously, for viewers to sit down three or four nights in a row and have a couple of nights off and then two additional nights or three additional nights to catch all of that. So obviously the ability to pre-record these multi-part documentaries is a prime example of the value of TiVo. And you are a TiVo fan. I don't have one.
Yeah, no. I don't have an official TiVo. It's through my it's actually through Dish, but yeah, it's great. You just, I mean, it completely changes the way you watch television.
Did we answer your question at all, or
question, and I wish you good luck on your fundraising. I know it's an enormous challenge.
Well, we thank you for your call and your interest. We really do. Thanks a lot.
We've got listeners lining up now, so let's go to line three from Farina. Line three.
Hi.
Hi.
I've got a couple of comments and questions.
Mm-hmm.
First, what is the actual date that it will switch over to the digital television and the digital radio? And part two of that question is, I live about 100 miles south, and in a rural area, I don't get very many stations, radio or television. Will I be able to get, if I get the converter, will I be able to get a signal from a longer distance, like your signal? Also, since you'll have more discretionary time, do you have any requirements for public access, or how about to raise money for your station, or just provide more service for your viewers and listeners, selling time for, like, my own produced documentaries and little films. And then the, my last question is, will they, because it's digital, will they be able to block my recording of programs over the air? And that's my three big questions today.
Okay. I can try to address at least the last one first. I know there is there that's actually a legitimate concern, because there has been the broadcast, and not so much, I don't think it's as much the broadcast industry as the studios are very concerned about the fact that, you know, of course, digital being kind of crystal clear, and then there being a variety of ways to kind of transfer files now that, you know, people are going to be just stealing stuff off the air. Well, stealing in their terms, but further distributing their programs without their permission, or, you know, burning DVDs and things like that. So I know that there that has been part of the debate over this kind of new standard is, you know, to what extent will they have these what they call a broadcast flag, that the signal will include a kind of a flag that will either allow recording or not allow recording. I'm not sure. Honestly, I'm not sure where that stands at this point, but I know that that is something that is being discussed. I think in general, you know, I don't think there's going to be an overall prohibition on recording. I mean, I think that, I don't know. I can't speak from a legal standpoint.
Well, you know, they will block it if they can. You know, that's just their whole trajectory, is to put as many nickels in their pocket as possible. But how about selling time for my own produced documentaries and films that are, and you could raise money that way for your station? I mean, where I could send you a tape or a disc, I mean.
Well, the mission of public broadcasting remains much the same, despite the fact that we are increasing the amount of programming we can provide. Now, there's a difference between public television, as I'm sure you're aware, a difference between public television and public access. There would be certain broadcasting standards, I think, that we would require on all of our digital channels. And certainly there are those who feel very, very passionately and strongly about public access. It's an issue in Champaign-Urbana right now. But I doubt that we will ever reach the point, at least as long as I'm around, which, what, be another 2 or 3 months, David?
Yeah.
That this will ever happen where we will be opening up some of our secondary channels to locally produced material. But this does not necessarily include the web, streaming on the web. The web component of the business we're in right now is changing everything, as you probably know out there. And who knows whether a video you produce may very well be streamed on either a WILL website or a link to the WILL website. We have to think outside the box in terms of traditional broadcasting. When you say you live 100 miles south, do you mean 100 miles south of Champaign-Urbana?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been advised by our chief engineer in the engineering department here that our digital coverage area will approximate our current analog coverage area. Perhaps it'll go out a little bit. Yeah. Satellite may be an option for you, and, of course, cable. But you mentioned a rural area in which you live.
Yeah.
You know, the satellite, and only two options with satellite right now, DirecTV and Dish.
Yeah.
Those would probably remain your best options if you're 100 miles south of us.
Well, I've got the, I just got it a month ago, and they didn't offer, WILL.
What town do you live?
It's near Effingham.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know
they only offered for local, quote unquote, was St. Louis,
This is an example of where WILL has to exert its carriage rights, because we should be in a position to be able to penetrate the Effingham area down there.
I get the AM signal.
Well, those are different.
Well, we're talking. I'm sorry, I'm talking about television, and you're talking about.
I know, but I'm just saying, as a general guide, I can at least get a broadcast signal
for AM, but not FM.
But they're different. It's not the same pattern.
The coverage areas are different. If you look at a coverage map, the AM is far differently shaped, much differently shaped than the FM coverage area, which approximates the TV. So it's understandable that you would be able to receive AM in near Effingham, and if it's Effingham County, and you would not get not receive a signal for FM.
Yeah. Okay. Still, it's unsatisfactory. Okay, well, thanks.
Well, thank you for the call.
And we are going to need to move along here because we've got about 6 minutes left and we've got three callers lined up. Line two is on or from Urbana. Line two?
Hi. I wanted to suggest to listeners that if they have, for instance, appreciated property like a stock, and they haven't sold it and taken the gain, that one way to get more bang for their donation buck is to donate the appreciated property to U of I Foundation, which then can give it to WILL. And one thing that we can consider doing with money we didn't expect to have, or if we're feeling particularly flush, is to contribute to the endowment for the WILL stations so that there's a cushion there that the stations can count on. The foundation pays up under like 5% of the income from the endowments. And it does mean that there is money that continues to grow slightly as the money gets reinvested and there's income from it. So that's something else we should be thinking about in terms of listener support for the station.
Yes, it's a very good point. And in fact, we are. Corporation for Public Broadcasting about 3 years ago initiated a program called the Major Giving Initiative. Donda Beard, who heads up our major gift efforts, we as a group, as a station, the development department as a department within WILL representing all three stations and the web, very sensitive to this particular point, endowments. And we have no choice but to look into this and explore ways in which we can increase our revenue by tapping into the generosity of people interested in. In fact, tonight we're honoring a couple in Dow a Day on radio.
Right.
Tonight. So your point is very well taken. We're sensitive to it. We're trying to explore as many revenue options as we can, and endowments, of course, would be one of those.
Well, we want to thank the listener
for
that comment. We didn't pay her to say that either. So.
No, thank you for the call, though.
And we've got a listener on line four from Coles County. Line four.
Morning.
Hi there.
We have DirecTV, and it seems I've heard something to the effect that their transceivers already are set up so that they'll handle digital, and we don't need a box.
Right. You're correct.
Is that true?
Yes. If you are already subscribing to a cable service like that, you should be fine.
Okay.
Or satellite in this case. But, should be fine. So, yeah, that's an important point to bring up.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you. And we've got just about 3 minutes left, and we've got a listener on line one from Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake?
Yeah. If we kept this analog, we could have more access to public interest programs because local groups, local small businesses and nonprofit groups could get on this analog, these public airwaves, whereas if we... And we could get cheaper internet, public internet services. Whereas if we give it away to the phone companies and the cell phones and the cable, we won't have this access as it is with the digital. As it is, if it goes where the TV and cable own everything will get more expensive. And this analog, it's prime analog on top of it, which goes through walls and mountains, it's low frequency, and the public would have access with the digital. The corporations are already getting more channels. Maybe they'll get 12 channels and more deregulation. And so we need to keep public interest groups available for the public interest or democracy.
Well, that's an excellent point. I mean, I'm not sure what you would do about that at this point. And, unfortunately, I think they are really planning to sell that spectrum off.
They're not giving it away.
They're not giving it away, but they're planning, they're definitely planning to do it. And all I can really say with that is write your congressperson. And I, you know, for what it's worth. I don't have a better answer for
Real
it.
Quickly, David, digital technology opens up areas in which we can not only broadcast digital programming, but again, I repeat, the web, the internet creates such a potential for video streaming, audio streaming. Just visit our website, WILL, the archiving of materials, the ability to stream video on the TV site. The digital technology opens up possibilities and potential, doesn't limit them, and I think analog does.
Yeah. We have just about a minute left, but I'd like to try and get in one last caller if we can on line two, on a cell phone, line two. Hello? Yep, I think we lost him. All right. Well, I think that's fine. And if they want to call back, and of course, people can call in during our business hours.
Absolutely.
At 333-1070. We're always happy to take your questions and comments. And that's one of the beauties of working in local public broadcasting is you get to do that. You get to talk directly to the viewers.
Correct, so, David.
Well, thank you, Carl, for coming in this morning.
I mean, you're the one that's been monitoring the time. It's a real pressure cooker, isn't it, David? I'm teasing.
No, it's been a lot of fun. We really do appreciate. We want to thank the folks at WILL AM for giving us this opportunity to talk a bit about some of these issues. And
Harriet Williamson, thank you. Yeah.
Yes, and thank you,
Carl. Well,
thank you,
David. And David and I talk all the time, and it's great to be able to talk together with two microphones in front of us. Normally, they're not there.
Exactly. Well, we have a little business to take care of, so this is WILL AM Urbana.